And now we welcome Globe Mayor Al Gumaros. Al, what's going on this month?
Well, it's been a busy month again, just working, you know, with this recovery and trying to get all these projects done. I do want to share something with the public this on this podcast. It'll be public by the governor's office. We want to make sure that they go ahead and release their release first, and then the city will have their own release. So as soon as that's released, then it could go public with everybody. But we received a call and a letter from the governor that we were denied our FEMA declaration.
I'm crestfallen. You know, of all the things I expected, this is not it. With Eli Crane and everybody else involved, I can't wait to read their reasoning, because I can't imagine what it would be.
Yes, it did, and a lot of work has been put in by staff, by county, by town of Miami. You know, there's been a lot of follow up. I know that we've put a lot of man hours into it. We were very hopeful that it would. I can read a statement that they say reaffirm that the original findings that the impact from this event is not of the severity and the magnitude that warrants a major disaster declaration.
Huh, they haven't been here.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they've been here. They saw it.
Well,
and like I said, this is a first. You know, I want to make sure the governor gets ahead of it.
Yeah.
We're putting a joint statement out between the county, the city of Globe and town of Miami, and the governor's office. That'll be coming out and getting more information. I don't know if there's more avenues that we can pursue. Obviously, it's a big blow to us to not get that additional 15% allocation.
Yeah, because not only is it the loss of FEMA funds, but the percentage that the city has to contribute to grants that it gets changes dramatically when FEMA approves the declaration. So this hits on multiple levels.
Exactly. And then the other thing that it affects too is not only we're trying to rebuild and stabilize our infrastructure, but this would have opened up resources for our residents, especially the ones on Jess Hayes that lost their residence. It would open up a buyback program for them. For the business people, it would open up tax credits and different other opportunities for them to work with the federal government to get assistance or funding back too. So it's a big blow for all of us.
It's huge, and certainly it's not of the volume of if an entire major city had a declaration, but considering the size of Globe and the magnitude of the damage, this doesn't add up to me.
It doesn't. You know, we're looking hundreds of millions of dollars in years of recovery, it's just going to be a little more difficult, you know, and who's going to foot the burden, you know? We're going to have to rely on the state level and our local taxpayers.
Yeah, which is just horrifying, because it's the last thing people can afford right now. And, you know, it's interesting. We only got one email that I was going to discuss later, but I'll bring it up now. Someone had written, and
okay,
I won't mention who, they said, have codes changed, or are the building codes going to change because of the floods? And it was an interesting question. And what you just said about no buyback program and all that, are we going to be in a situation where people can't rebuild? I mean, that it becomes impossible because things have changed, and yet they'll get nothing for it?
Yeah, and that's the thing. When you rely on that, it's codes. What we were, and I'll talk a little later on a resilience mitigation plan that we're going to be working on together as a Southern Gila County. And yes, we need to look at when a disaster happens, that we need to look at our codes and say, you know, in this time frame, we got to, you know, adjust a little bit, you know, and not go with normal codes, because we may have to, you know, help people out. You know, we did that for the first 6 months by delaying permitted costs and doing so. So there is some different things that we need to incorporate into a mitigation plan for disasters.
Yeah, in light of this loss of FEMA, I would think probably maybe some waivers are going to be able to happen, because for people who, you know, can't rebuild under the codes and are not going to get any compensation from FEMA, they'll be living in, you know, under a tent if there isn't some relief.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, and we're looking at all that, and I didn't have this on this month's report, but I'll announce it here, is that we have been working, and the Salvation Army have been working together to try and come up with additional, or the funding that's left over. And what they're going to be is they're going to be helping these people on Jess Hayes Road that have structures that are not, they're not going to be able to rebuild. So they will help cover the cost for the environmentals, the demolition of the home, and then clearing of the lot, stuff like that, so the homeowner isn't burdened by it.
That's excellent, but still, without the ability to rebuild, this FEMA thing has just set me back. Of all the things I thought you were going to tell me today, Al, this wasn't it.
Well, we were really shocked. We heard first word about 2 days ago, which was Tuesday. I was on the phone with the governor's office today, and again, trying to figure out what direction we go and trying to have this released into the public forum.
Yeah, I'm just stunned. I hope there is somewhere to go, but I have that sinking feeling that we're done.
Yeah, you know, it's a shame, because now, you know, the people, they're going to have to move on, or, you know, if they rebuild, they'll have to go through FEMA guidelines, go through the requirements and everything. But if they, with their land tore down now, what happens to that? You know, it's still their property, but, you know, they're going to have to move somewhere else unless they, you know, again, rebuild through the requirements of FEMA. And they're looking about 5 homes that will be taken down in the Jess Hayes Road area.
This is horrible.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Yep. And I wasn't expecting it. I really felt good that
I did too.
With everything that was done, all the visits and a lot of work that has been done in the governor's office, a lot of work done by Congressman Crane, that we had a very good chance of getting a good nod on it.
This is, and I know FEMA doesn't have a formal third level appeal process, but I keep saying there's got to be something, but I am very concerned that we're on our own.
Yeah, and our staff right now is aggressively looking for different avenues
to be
able to help or come up with some other options. So we are working in that direction.
Oh, man. Disappointing. Do we have any uplifting news this month?
Well, I'll go through my June report. We did approve our final budget and property tax levy. That was at the June 23rd meeting. We had a public hearing for public input. We did not get no public input on our final budget or the tax levy. So Resolution 1936 was adopted. And what this does is reflected an amount not to exceed $97,691,340 for this year's budget.
Okay.
And this includes a general fund budget, again, of $22,269,297. And that's part of our operating budget.
Okay.
So it does include a $3.5 million contingency fund that is untouchable. So I think our operating budget comes down around $18 million for the year.
And that's good. Of course, what we're doing here, we talked about this in the last meeting, is allowing within the budget for accepting grants or money that will come, not necessarily money that will be spent.
Exactly. And that's where the other parts come in. We have enterprise funds at $9,018,254. And then we have capital projects at $19,036,654. And then here's the one that comes in with a grant capacity of $47,367,135. And that could and may not be spent, just depending on what kind of funding and grants we get.
Right. But at least we know we can accept them.
Exactly. Exactly. And that first part of the project we're doing right now with NRCS, that's a $24 million, so that's part of that $47 million. We got to show the $24 million in there,
sure,
even though 75% of it is reimbursed.
Right.
Okay. So that was our approval. Here's the good news.
Good.
On the state budget appropriations, included in the $18.2 billion final state budget signed by Governor Hobbs this year is an appropriation of $10 million to go to Gila County for disaster relief. So that's going to help us. The county will receive $5 million. The town of Miami will receive $2.5 million, and the city of Globe, $2.5 million. And this distribution should occur either this week or next week, which is great. The sooner we get it, the better, you know, the quicker we can utilize it for our project.
Excellent. We've been expecting it, but it's nice that we now know it's codified and signed and on its way.
You bet. So, you know, for City of Globe, they come in at an ideal time, because we've been looking at different options how we're going to meet our $5.5 million match for this initial NRCS project. So we take that covers 2.5 of that $5.5 million.
Yeah.
A lesser amount that we have to come up with.
Good.
The thing is, when we went to Washington, I think I said in my last month's report that we met with NRCS, and what we're after for them is to waive that 25%. And again, I think they were waiting to see what the federal government was going to do in their FEMA declaration. So now we'll go back and visit that again and see if they can give us a percentage, any percentage discount on you know, what we need to pay back. On the NRCS.
I can see the logic on their part going both ways. One, if they think, well, FEMA denied it, so we're not doing anything. On the other hand, hopefully it's, well, FEMA denied it and these people need some relief.
Yes.
So I hope that it's plan B rather than plan A. But is there a possibility, regardless of how remote, that it will all be waived?
I don't think it'll all be waived.
Okay.
I think what we would shoot for is to at least try and get at least the 15% that we are anticipating, or anything less, 15% or less.
Okay.
I don't think we will get the 25%. It was a good meeting with them, but I think I believe that they were waiting to see,
yeah,
what the final decision was going to be on the declaration.
It'll be fascinating to see which way they go on it.
Exactly. Yeah, you bet. And I hope it's a good news there, you know, because we still got to come up with $2 million.
And I hope that it's reasonably quick. We don't want it to be a 5-month deal like waiting for FEMA.
Yes, yes. Yep. Yep. And maybe it will now, you know, like I said.
Yeah.
I think they were waiting for the decision there.
Mm-mm-mm. it's a heartbreaker.
So, yep. So moving on to our NRCS project, this was back towards the end of June. It's progressing as planned, according to Tiffany Construction. They're working daily, except they did not work July 4th or 5th. And the anticipated completion date for our project in Globe is July 24th.
Excellent.
Yes. When we talked to them back when I did this report, they were approximately 50% of the city's contracted work had been completed, and they had already moved around 30,000 cubic yards of sediment, with a total of about 50 to 60,000 cubic yards scheduled for removal under this project.
And again, this is to fortify the creek, so in the event of next time we have floods, that the creek will be able to hold the water.
Exactly. This is the what we're doing is building capacity.
Right.
According to what the engineer report came out with, like I said, the engineer report alone was $3 million.
Oh, God.
And, yeah. And it also includes, if we have the time frame, again, we also get to a point where we might run out of time, is to stabilize some of the creek walls where we had some washouts, too, for roads and stuff like that.
That'd be good.
Yes, it would be. Yep. We were able to get, remember, we had to get those right of entry.
Yes, and
in order to
you got them all. I understand you got them all.
Yeah. No, we got them all but two.
Oh, I didn't know about the two.
We had three. three, and we ended up not getting two. But it didn't stop the process. We had to go through the court system in order to get the right of entry, and we've completed that process. So we'll still be able to do our project at 100%, but we had to... We had some issues with two homeowners that did not want to sign.
So that's interesting. So ultimately, while they didn't want to sign, it's irrelevant for the project because the courts have ruled you can go ahead and do it.
Yes, yeah.
And
that's kind of what we had to do with the propane tanks. Remember with Matlock's, when they still had tanks on their property that we didn't want there anymore before the next storm came. So we went to the court system, got a right of entry, and we were able to remove them there.
So
we couldn't get permission to get in there.
Matlock wouldn't do it on their own?
No.
Well, that's something the community should know, because decisions are made and you'll decide who you're shopping with. That's interesting.
Well,
that I understand when a homeowner, as an individual, will emotionally stop something for a lot of reasons, again, in the human condition.
Yes.
But when you're talking about a corporate entity that they don't step up and do everything they can to support the community, that is just unacceptable.
Yeah, and I don't know, you know, it could have been they don't have the capacity, the funding to do it. So we took on that cost to move those. Initially, remember, with the tanks were moved on Jess Hayes Road right back into the area, those 900 tanks. So we footed the cost. The city said, we're not going to wait around.
No.
We're going to pay for this now, and we'll go after in the court system later on. But we went ahead and paid for that, plus we went ahead and got right entry to get another, I think, 200 off the property that were near where they went into the creek also.
Unbelievable. And then you wonder why, given the reality of flooding, why a company would elect to be there in the first place with this being a possibility of happening.
Yeah. It just, you know, it's a lot. Oh, man, there's so much involved with it.
Yeah.
We've learned a lot in this whole process and, and things we need to share with other communities.
Absolutely.
So what they
absolutely. In terms of rural America, we are not alone that way.
No, you bet. We did, I'll talk a little bit about, this is the one I was telling you earlier, an IGA flood mitigation plan.
Yes.
We approved at our council meeting a collaborative IGA intergovernment agreement between Gila County, the town of Miami, and the city of Globe. And this is for the development of a long-term regional mitigation plan for the region.
Good.
And what this is coming about is Freeport-McMoRan stepped up, met with us, and has committed to provide expert resources to assist us in developing this comprehensive flood plan.
Good.
And also to prepare competitive grant applications.
Oh, that'd be wonderful if you can get help from Freeport for that.
Oh, yeah. And they've committed. The only thing is that we have to, as the three entities, have to
agree.
Sign an IGA. Town of Miami's already done theirs. We've done ours, and then the county should be getting theirs here pretty quick.
They will.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this work will address the ongoing flood mitigation needs and continuing impacts from the 2021 Telegraph Fire burn scar.
Good.
Which has increased our flood risk in our community.
Of course it has.
You bet. And once this process is complete, we look forward to implementing the agreement and working collaborative on the project. And the thing is, when we go for these grants, we'll be able to collaborate. So when you do collaboration and grants, you get a higher score and a better opportunity to be successful.
Oh, absolutely. And as good as our grant writers are in the county and in the city of Globe now, Freeport-McMoRan probably has resources we've never even considered. So they should be great at this.
Yeah, and what we're bringing in an expert from the Coconino County. They're bringing in their expert. We met with her. She has been responsible in leading and helping Flagstaff after their burn scar and their flooding that occurred after that to get... I think they have gotten up as high as $200 million for the mitigation of the burn scar to try and slow the water down as it comes down into the city.
Good.
So this is what we're after. So we don't have to reinvent it. So she is going to be on our team to build this plan and help us move forward to try and get funding for it.
Excellent.
Yep. So That's huge, and we need to do it because there's a lot of things we need to change in the future. You know, how do we look at rain now? We look at when it does rain. You know, even some kind of alert systems in the downtown area, paying more attention to really when we get severe flooding,
right?
Because everything has changed, and I think our mindset has changed now also.
Yeah, no one will forget the pictures of that restaurant where people literally were eating minute and neck deep the next. And, you know,
exactly.
We're aware where we are. We're aware of flood potential, you know, monsoons in the state. But still, when you see that firsthand, and we never had before that, it's a game changer.
You bet, yep. And that's what bothers me, for FEMA to come here and see that, their representatives to see what we went through and still deny us that declaration.
Well, what I'd love to know, and maybe we'll be able to find out somehow, is on what basis, you know, point by point, how did you come to this decision? Because mm-hmm. it defies logic.
Yep. I guess what they think, we have enough resources and funding within our state level and our own rural communities set. That isn't the case. You know, if it wasn't for the governor's office to allocate $10 million, that's going to help us tremendously, but we still have that deficit.
Of course. Absolutely. It makes you think that no one in this FEMA decision has actually lived in a rural community to know what happens when you're suddenly facing this kind of an expense.
Mm-hmm. We don't have the population. We don't have the revenue, the sales revenue.
Right.
We don't have that amount of funding that other communities have that can recover.
Absolutely. Well,
so
amazing.
So this plan will be huge for us. And it's not going to be an overnight plan. It's going to be a work in progress.
Right.
There's obviously going to be some funding have to take place from all entities as we move forward in the next year.
Right.
I want to talk a little bit, again, I think, about the flight medical insurance.
Yes.
The annual PHI flight insurance membership, it was not renewed for city residents this year. And again, due to us continue our recovery efforts. But what they have done, and we encourage all residents to renew themselves. And what they're giving the City of Globe residents right now for renewal is $30 for the year for your entire household.
That is so worth it. And if you're not in the City of Globe, maybe you're unincorporated or whatever, call them and check, because I understand there are discounts for other entities as well. You know, City of Globe, it's a no-brainer, but, you know, there you are in Claypool. Don't say, well, I'm out of luck. Call them.
And you know what? They're going to get a deal also. I don't think they'll get the $30 a year, but I think their cost for Miami and the county, because they had a previous contract also, I think, but it's only going to be $40.
Well, even so.
When
you realize $40 for coverage for your entire family versus easily $40,000 if something hits.
Oh, easily.
And,
yes.
You know, in terms of insurance, yes, Medicare covers, that's true. But in terms of the secondary insurance and what other plans you have, this can be a lot of out-of-pocket that you might not be expecting, because you very well might not be fully covered, if covered at all. So absolutely this makes sense.
You bet, because some insurances, they have a copayment of 10% or 20%.
Of course.
And 20% of $50,000 is a lot of money.
Well, more than most residents are going to easily come up with. And we talked, I think, last time a bit, PHI is the biggie, but they're not the only. So it behooves you to call, I believe, is Banner Air one of them? Somebody or
Banner
Native
Air. Banner Air is another one, and Native Air is another one.
Yeah, and I'd call all of them. Even if you wound up spending $100 for the year,
exactly.
This is just a no-brainer.
Exactly.
So absolutely. And even if you are on Medicare and it's covered, call anyway. This is extra insurance. And I can't say that enough, because we do hear the horror stories of people, especially people with a young child who's flown out. And next thing you know, the family's in bankruptcy.
Exactly. Or maybe you're taking care of your mother or your in-laws, your grandparents, and they're covered if they're living within your household.
Of course. No, if they're in the household, they're covered. And the other thing, if you think, oh, I'm young and healthy, well, you get in your car every day. I don't think it's something you want to risk.
Exactly. No, I agree. So we want to push that. They are going to have an event here. They did come, and they went to Walmart, I think, last weekend, and I don't think it was advertised well. So I think we need to get that out there so people will, you know, show up. I don't know where they're going to do the event, but they got to do, they want to do it by the first week in August at least.
Good. Good.
Okay. And I'll give you a number here. Carrie Brookshire is the membership manager. And the number there for anybody who call Carrie direct, 855-625-0352. And she will help you out in whatever she can. Just tell me you live in the Globe, city of Globe, or even Miami or in the incorporated county also here.
Right. And she's knowledgeable, so she may be able to give you the contacts at Native and Banner, because you do want all of them. PHI is most likely to be who will come and pick you up. But if they're busy, it ain't going to be them. So you want to make sure that you're covered on all of them.
Exactly. Yeah. And they have, like I said, they have the one ship here at Pinto Valley Mine. And the next closest one they have in Kearney. Mm-hmm. And they have one in the East Valley. So more than likely you would get them, but there is always that possibility that you might not.
Right. You'll get them unless there's a conflict. And I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to put my money on no conflict.
Yeah, you got it. The last thing, again, Coffee with the Mayor, is July 15th to 1 o'clock at Copper City's Coffee. I invite people to come by, and, you know, I'll try and give them the information that they're asking for. If I can, I'll try and review it and get it for them.
Great. Great. 1 p.m., I assume?
Mm-hmm. 1 p.m., okay. Copper City's Coffee.
All right, on
and
Highway
16. July 15th.
All right. Yep. Good deal. Obviously, we'll talk about it in the next meeting, but I don't want you to wait a month, Al. If anything comes up and there's anything we need to know, we'll have it on the air immediately. So just keep us informed. I'm crestfallen, to say the least.
Okay, you bet. And is email the best way to get a hold
that
of
is
you?
A, that it? Is a great way. And I will send you an email back and include Big John's, too, because he's on it on the news and mornings and afternoons. So that, but I check my email incessantly. So it's perfect.
Okay.
All right.
I will do that.
Well, good deal. Appreciate it. I wish it was better news, but you're on it. And I'm grateful that you are. And we will talk to you next month, if not sooner. Thank you.
Thank you, Raleigh. Have a good night.
You too. So, we will keep you informed. And that is Globe Mayor Al Gameros. If you're tuning in late or just want to hear it again, this report will air Sunday on KJAA AM and FM at 8 a.m. And if you miss that too, you can download it at kqss.net.